Berkeley balcony collapse.
At least five people are dead.
U.S. strike kills Al-Qaeda leader.
This is a very, very significant success.
Chicago takes hockey's Stanley Cup.
You have a dynasty.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan. With the CBS World News Roundup, we begin with breaking news from Berkeley, California, where overnight a fourth-floor apartment balcony collapsed. KCBS Radio's Holly Kwan at the scene.
Five people killed, eight people suffering serious to life-threatening injuries when this seemingly sturdy-looking balcony came loose from the wall and flipped over onto the balcony one floor below, emptying everyone on it out into the street. Gerald Robinson helped take friends of the victims to the hospital.
Don't have shoes. Because they weren't allowed back in to their apartment. So a couple of the women are running around barefoot, and some of them had blood on their knees, and some of them had blood on their shirts, and they're all trying to figure out who was hurt and how bad and where are they.
The four-story apartment building looks like newer construction. Police still processing the scene. Holly Kwan, CBS News, Berkeley, California.
Now overseas, Al-Qaeda confirms that American drone strike in Yemen has killed the terror group's leader there.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Nasser al-Wahishi was at the helm of a dangerous al-Qaeda affiliate bent on killing Americans. CBS's Clarissa Ward reports this morning from Yemen's capital.
Wahishi's death is a major setback for al-Qaeda here. He had led operations in Yemen since 2002, and he's credited with building up al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula into the group's strongest branch. He was most famously responsible for sending two underwear bombers to blow up airliners over American soil, though both of those attacks failed.
CBS News security contributor Michael Morrell says it's a major development.
This is the most significant U.S. counterterrorism success since the killing of Osama bin Laden. We were concerned when the United States was forced to leave Yemen that we were going to be blind. But this tells me that we have found a way to continue to collect intelligence there, and that is a very good thing.
Back here at home, Tropical Storm Bill is bearing down on eastern Texas. Lynn Haga is bracing for wind and water in Galveston.
We've fastened our shutters. We've moved stuff off our porch and out of our yard.
CBS's Omar Villafranca is along the shore.
Right now, what we're seeing are some of the outer bands of this storm. It's not expected to make landfall for a few hours. The island of Galveston could get about 10 inches of rain. Other parts of the state, they're talking about a foot, and a lot of people will get a heavy dose of sustained 50-mile-an-hour winds.
Harris County Judge Ed Emmett is worried about areas that flooded not long ago.
We do not want to see a repeat of the tragedy of 3 weeks ago. I've asked law enforcement, monitor those underpasses and shut them down immediately.
Well, now to Alaska, where a wildfire north of Anchorage has forced evacuations in an area where many sled dog racers live. 500 dogs have been rescued, and six buildings have burned in a separate fire to the south on the Kenai Peninsula. Hundreds of families have fled their homes.
Integrity matters!
Integrity matters!
A rally last night outside the NAACP office in Spokane, Washington, hours after the woman who kicked up a debate about racial identity resigned her job as head of the group. CBS's Heather Bosch joins us with more on what she and her white parents are now saying.
Her mother says
she needs to make an apology, in my view.
Ruth Ann Dolezal on CBS This Morning about her daughter, Rachel.
She needs to address the issue that she is a white woman and she has been deceptive about her ethnicity.
I identify as black.
That's Rachel telling NBC's Today show she began seeing herself as black when she was a child.
I was drawing self-portraits with the brown crayon instead of the peach crayon.
She admits she never corrected people who assumed she was African-American. She stepped down as NAACP president. Members say they're not concerned she's white, just that she lied.
There's been no break in the manhunt for two men who cut their way out of a New York prison. Here's CBS's Steve Futterman.
As the search enters its 11th day, new details are emerging about the woman who allegedly helped Richard Matt and David Sweat. A law enforcement source tells CBS News that Joyce Mitchell had a sexual relationship with one of the two escapees, Matt. That relationship may have led to her allegedly assisting the two in their escape plans. The local district attorney, Andrew Wiley.
Obviously, Joyce Mitchell went a step further, you know, a relationship with these two individuals.
A law enforcement source also tells CBS News that Mitchell had agreed to a plan which involved her husband, Lyle, being killed by the two escapees. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Plattsburgh, New York.
A Colorado jury will hear today from a key witness in the movie theater massacre case.
Dr. Lynn Fenton could provide insights as a psychiatrist who treated James Holmes while he secretly planned the attack. They last met about 6 weeks before the theater shootings. Hours before launching his heavily armed assault, Holmes mailed Dr. Fenton a diary with detailed plans for the mass shooting. Prosecutors wanting Holmes executed say the diary proves Holmes understood what he was doing and was not insane. Lee Frank, CBS News, Centennial, Colorado.
In Egypt, a court has confirmed the death sentence given to ousted President Mohamed Morsi. It stems from a mass prison break in 2011 that eventually lifted him to power. Pope Francis is poised to call for people of all faiths to act on climate change. Live to CBS's Vicki Barker.
That call lodged in a leaked draft of Thursday's encyclical, the most authoritative teaching a pope can make.
His role as a teacher, as a moral leader, is to talk about the moral implications of climate change and how we should respond to it.
Father Thomas Rees of the National Catholic Reporter. Pope Francis, a trained chemist, asserts climate change is largely man-made. Caused by the consumerist economic model. It's a moral duty to battle it, he says, because it impacts the poor the most. Steve?
The Chicago Blackhawks claimed hockey's Stanley Cup last night with a 2-0 Game 6 win over the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Well, Chicago, that's 3 cups in 6 seasons.
NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman handed over the cup.
I'd say you have a dynasty.
It's the first time a Blackhawks team has won the Cup on home ice since 1938. The Golden State Warriors will look to take the NBA title tonight in Cleveland. They lead the Cavaliers 3-2. In Vancouver, the U.S. women's soccer team plays Nigeria tonight at the World Cup. The economy has risen up from the recession, and so it seems has generosity. Here's CBS's Jim Shenavy.
Americans are giving more to charitable organizations.
We've had 5 straight years of increases as we've come out of the Great Recession.
Keith Curtis of the Giving USA Foundation, an organization that tracks Americans' generosity, and last year it hit a record.
Americans donated an estimated $358.38 billion last year to charities. It's the highest total in the report's 60-year history.
It's about $47 billion more than the previous record year, 2007. Jim Shenavy, CBS News.
In Akron, Ohio, a case of thievery. Police say bandits cut a hole in a wall to get inside a reptile rescue operation. Alarms went off, but the bandits managed to take 7 rare pythons and escape. The snakes are worth about $6,000. Some of them are being treated for injuries. That's the World News Roundup for Tuesday. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.